Well, good evening, everybody. Well, good evening, everybody. Here it is once more and again. Inspirational Wednesday, hosted by myself, Diane Adams. And as always, I am so grateful and honored to be with you tonight. I pray that everyone had a wonderful week, and I pray that we explore the Word of God tonight, that we can be strengthened. I also would like to just, first of all, thank God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit for allowing us to be together on tonight. I also would like to thank each and every one of you who have taken time out of your busy schedule to come and listen and explore the Word of God together. I always want to let you know that if you have any comments, concerns, questions, or requests, you can press the one button at any time, and I will open the mic for you so that you can speak and other listeners could hear you. I always tell you that I don't know everything, and I'm only giving information because it's the Holy Ghost that give illumination as well as revelation. But we have to take the things of God that we hear or that we read, and we have to meditate on it because the adversary, the devil, is seeking and going around like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. You know, Jesus also talked about a parable when you hear the Word of God, what you do with it, you know, because it could be snatched away from you. So I pray that we meditate on the things of God and that we take what we hear and you take the scriptures and you study them and you back them up and you know for yourself, because the scriptures say that everyone have to study to show themselves approved. We can no longer go around just taking what someone said, because the Bible teaches us against false prophets and people who may have good intentions and it may not be correct. So I encourage you to take the scriptures and to back them up and then meditate on what you heard and use what you can, that it can mature you, that it could bring you to another level. But as always, I'm going to go ahead and we're going to open up with prayer. And if there's someone who would like to do the opening prayer at this time, you can press the one on your phone and I'll open the mic for you if anyone would like to pray. If not, we're going to listen to, I'm going to go ahead and do the prayer and we're going to listen to a song. And once the song is completed, we're going to go straight into the lesson. But for those who have your paper, your pen, your Bible, you know, this is Bible study. And anytime you go to study or you was in school, you always brought the materials necessary for you to jot down and write so that you could have as a reference. But for those who have their paper and pencil and their Bibles or whatever you may have, the scripture tonight is coming. There's going to be two sets of scripture. The first scripture is coming from Zechariah, the 9th verse and the 9th chapter. Zechariah, 9th chapter, 9th verse. And the second scriptures is going to come from Matthew's, the 22nd chapter, and we're going to be in verses 1 through 11. So that's Zechariah 9 and 9. And Matthew's 21, 1 through 11. I hope everyone have everything that they need. And I'm going to go ahead and open now with a prayer. And then after this, we're going to have a song that lead us into the throne of grace. And then we're going to go into the lesson. Well, since no one has pressed the one button, I'm going to go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, we enter your courts with thanksgiving and into your gates with praise. Heavenly Father, I want to be so careful right now to give you glory, honor, and praise because you're worthy, dear God. You are our creator, our Lord, our master, our redeemer. Heavenly Father, you are everything that we need. And you provided us with provisions to get us to know and to do your will, to walk in our purpose that was designed for us before the foundation of the world. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your plan, and I thank you for your creation, and I thank you for your Son, and I thank you for your Spirit, and I thank you for each and every person that took time and called here tonight. Heavenly Father, I'm asking that you look down upon each one of them individually and collectively, dear God, and bless them in the blessings that they are needing. Heavenly Father, let no one suffer for them taking the time to come and explore in the Word. And Lord, you say that, you know, those who search the Word should not be ashamed. But lift us up, dear God, and help us to get to maturity. Bless the homes that are represented here tonight, not just the ones on the telephone, but anyone that may be listening on the internet. Heavenly Father, we need you, and we can't make it without you. Lord, I pray that the word that go forth on tonight don't return void, that that word could be used to edify your people and glorify you. Heavenly Father, I submit so that the Holy Ghost can have his way. Heavenly Father, I realize that it's not about me, but it's all about you. And Heavenly Father, I give you permission. I give you the right of way to have your way in this Bible study tonight. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Heavenly Father, use what goes forth to help your people. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. Well, that's our prayer. And I found some new music, so I'm going to play this record by Jonathan Butler. Some of you may remember Jonathan Butler was a secular singer, and he decided that he just want to serve the Lord, and now he's a gospel singer. So I'm going to play his record, and after that, we're going to get into the lesson. Thank you. Well, look like the music don't want to cooperate tonight, but it's all good. So what we, oh, here it comes. Hallelujah. The bread of life.
God. Was the best thing that I ever learned,
That was Kirk Whalum and Jonathan Butler. Jonathan Butler says the best thing that ever happened was when he fell in love with God. That should be our goal as well. But here we go into the lesson tonight. And as I told you, the scripture is coming for Zechariah, the 9th chapter, the 9th verse, and Matthew 22, 1 through 11. And the topic for tonight is fulfilling the prophecy as the righteous king. As always, I'll give you a little background. And since one of the scriptures is coming from Zechariah, well, I want you to know that the book of Zechariah is in the Old Testament. And Zechariah is the writer of the book of Zechariah. You see, there are 17 books of prophecy in the Bible that was written by prophets. But if you want to see them, you have to go in the Old Testament. And the prophets, out of the 17 books of prophecies written by prophets, 5 are called major prophets and 12 books are minor prophets. I want you to know that Zechariah was a minor prophet. And you might be saying right now, well, what's the difference between a minor and a major prophet? The difference is, how much writing did the prophet do and how much of it was printed determine if he's a major or a minor. You see, a prophet is a man who speaks to men on behalf of God and the message that he has received from God. You see, prophecy is the declaration and the illumination and the illustration of the principles of the divine government. What I'm saying, that prophecy is talking about the divine government, the divine plan that God has, and how it's gonna come together, and what's gonna happen, and when it's gonna happen, and how it's gonna happen. You see, when there's a prophecy going on, it could either be in the past, it could be about the past, the present, or it could be telling you things of the future. You see, prophets was God specially called and inspired messengers. They were holy men of God who spoke as they was moved by the Holy Spirit. And for us to back that up, there's a scripture in 2 Peter, 1st chapter 21, verse says, "For the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but by holy men of God that spoke as they was moved by the Holy Spirit." The prophets and the prophecies is in the Old Testament. So don't look for it in the New Testament. It's in the Old Testament. You see, the prophet's job was to call the people back to God and to the truth of God. It involved warning them of the consequences of their actions and oftentimes a call to repent. God was always sending prophecies to the children of Israel because he hadn't created them as his nation, and a lot of things was going on, but he gave them prophecy to let them know it's going to be all right. You know, this is going to come to pass. He may not say when, but he said it will, which gave them hope and gave them something to hold on to. Prophecy. You know, they were men who God used to speak of his love for the sinners. And it assured them and let them know that help was always on the way, and it gave them hope. The heart of the message was God's promise for eternal redemption through the coming of Jesus Christ. You need to know this. When you look at the Word of God, when you pick up the Word of God, when you study the Word of God, everything in the Bible, the Old as well as the New Testament, was designed to lead us to Christ. It was designed to lead us to Christ. So we should remember that. You see, this lesson includes a verse from the Old Testament, Zechariah 9:9. And the verse in the New Testament was that. The verse in the Old Testament is found in the New Testament to reveal the awesome relationship between what has been prophesied and what is fulfilled. You see, Zechariah wrote it in the Old Testament, but there was reading and teaching and scribes that the New Testament gospel writers used, and they would always, not always, but many times they used the prophecy. And when the prophecy was being fulfilled, they knew that the fulfillment was happening. They spoke about the prophecy that was prophesied long time ago, and they marvel that now it's being fulfilled. You see, the prophecy of Zechariah came at a time of restoration. You see, they had been being captured. They had been under subjection and slavery. They had been under all kind of things. And the fulfillment in the book of Matthew came at a time when the Jews was under subjection to the Roman Empire. So both periods of time was of anxious as well as expectation. The triumph entry was very important. And when we look at the fulfilling of the prophecy of the righteous king, it was the triumph entry that Jesus Christ was making into Jerusalem. And as we get in the lesson, we're going to see just what we're talking about. But remember this. We're talking about the triumph entry into Jerusalem and why it was important, and especially at this time, and this is why there was so much celebration. So we're going to read Zechariah 9:9, and it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt and a foal of an ass." That's the scripture in Zechariah. Zechariah, what I was saying at the time, he was dealing with the oppression and the kings wasn't treating people good in that time. And he was talking about that, but in the middle of talking about that, the chapters in Zechariah 9:1-9 was talking about that. And then he broke out and switched, you know, changed gears. And he said this scripture that I just read. He said, "Rejoice greatly, O daughters of Zion and of Jerusalem, behold, thy king coming." He was talking about the king coming, not the kings and the earthly kings and the unjust kings, because he said here he's going to have salvation. And we know Jesus Christ is the holder of salvation. And they talked about his character of lowly, which really means humble, and he'd be riding up on the ass. Back at that time when Jesus came, made that triumph entrance in Jerusalem, he was riding on a donkey, an ass. And at this particular time, donkeys wasn't used anymore. They were considered minimum animals. They weren't used, but in the old days, they were used by royal kings. But when they stopped using donkeys during Solomon time, because they started importing horses from around the world, and they start riding in horses and chariots. So for Jesus Christ to come in on a donkey, it lets us know that he is humble and he's riding up on the ass, and it's all right for him. He don't have to show off. He's telling us in our life, be who you are. He tells us that we should be humble. We should be meek. You know, some people say being meek is being weak, but we learn through the word of God that being meek is strength under control. Jesus, with all power, with God being his Father, coming down from heaven, and yet he had his triumph entry in Jerusalem, riding on the ass. You see, this was a prophecy given to Zechariah long before the birth of Christ. This prophecy was given over 500 years before it happened. So what can I tell some of you that's waiting for something? And you may be asking yourself the question, how long? Zechariah gave this prophecy, and it did not come to pass for 500 years. Keep that in mind, because God is to give up time, and God controls time. But God is our on-time God. Here we see that God has and will work all things out for your good. In God's creation, he mapped out everything that would be necessary for your good. You see, before the foundation of the world, this is what I love, God dotted every I, and he crossed every T. Here we see that God had each of us in mind before the beginning. Yes, I'm talking about me, but I'm talking about you, and I'm talking about you, and you, and you. You got to believe it to achieve it. When we see the word rejoice greatly, we see that the celebration is the heart of this verse. Now remember, this is Jesus going riding into Jerusalem, and he was making his entry. And this celebration had to do with a king. Yes, royalty he was, but he was like no other king. You see, this King Jesus was just and righteous, and he had salvation for redemption in his hand. He was lowly, which is humble, and he came riding on the ass. These words describe the king's character and agenda and a reception and admiration he should have received once he revealed himself. Okay, Jesus did all of that and more. And he should, all honor and glory should go to him. But after doing all of that, you know how the story goes. And Jesus come riding into Jerusalem at that time. And we know how the story goes, but this is how it happened. And we're going to break it down when we get to the other scriptures. But that was Zechariah. But now we're in Matthew 21, verse 1 through 11. And the scripture reads, and it says, and when they drew nigh to Jerusalem, this Jesus going into Jerusalem, and were come from Bethphage unto the Mount Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loosen them and bring them unto to me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord has need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that, come on now, watch this. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. And that's why I gave the prophecy that was in the book of Zechariah. See, now this is when it's unfolding. 500 years, you know, before Jesus was even born. But this the prophecy. He said, tell the daughters of Zion, behold, the king come unto thee, meek and setting upon an ass and a foal. I'm still reading the scriptures, and I'm in the 6th verse now. And the disciples went and did as Jesus said. Now watch this. Remember, this is the story that you guys probably know when Jesus rode into Jerusalem with a donkey, on a donkey. And the people began to put their clothes on the road, and they began to put palms in the street, and the disciples took off their clothes and made a saddle for Jesus. And Jesus rode in Jerusalem, and all of the people was there. But let me show you the awesomeness of God. The day that God allowed the saga to begin and the story to begin unfolding, it was a festival in Jerusalem. You know, Jerusalem, the people, the Israelites, and the Judaism religion still used the law for their rules and their regulations. And the Passover feast was one of the main feasts that they gave a lot of observance to. Because if we know about the Passover, that's when God allowed the Jews to exit out of Egypt. And he had a sacrificial lamb, and they took the blood, and they put the blood over all of the doors. And God said wherever there was the blood, that house would be protected. And the dead angel went around and killed all the firstborns. So the Israelites, the Jews remembered that. The Israelites and the Jews remembered that. And every year, when it's that time of year, no matter where the Jews lived, because remember, there was a lot of battles going on, you know, in the world, even back then with the Palestinians and the Hittites and the Jebusites, and all of these things was going on. So there was a lot of exile of the Jews from Jerusalem and Judea. So they weren't there. They were spread it all around. But because this feast was happening, everybody had to come back. And if you didn't, you was breaking the law. So you could imagine that this city was crowded. You see, no Jewish feast was more important than the Feast of the Passover. And this was perfect time and an appropriate time for the climax of Jesus' earthly life and his ministry. Remember what I say, the Passover is going to be 6 days from that. Jesus rode in on a Sunday. And for those who know, that's where we get Palm Sunday from. So if we look at Palm Sunday and put it in our mind and what we know about it, Palm Sunday is the Sunday before Easter. Jesus rode in Jerusalem on the donkey the Sunday before Easter. Once the leaves was, the palms and everything was put down, it picked up the name Palm Sunday. And that's where Palm Sunday come from, because of the timing. But isn't it awesome that God allowed his prophecy to begin to be fulfilled at that time? Number one, he knew everybody was going to be in Jerusalem, so they would get to see. And number two, you have to do the correlation, because if he freed the children of Israel from the slavery and the bondage of Egypt, and the symbolic of Jesus riding into Jerusalem, that he was going to free us from the bondage of the law. He was freeing us from the bondage of sin. He was going to grant us salvation if we accept him. To me, that's awesome. God is full of wisdom. And he do things at his own time. He could allow Jesus to come in at any time. But he knew it was going to be a festival. He knew the people was going to be there. He knew foreigners was going to be there. But God uses everything he wants for his glory. And that's the same way he's doing in your life. But everything that you need to do the will of God and everything that you need to accomplish the purpose that God has assigned for you, God has already made the provisions. But you got to believe it. You see, the Passover feast represented the exodus of the people of ancient Israel from enslavery in Egypt. The Passover was one of the three pilgrimage festivals for which all Jews was required to go. You see, God is full of wisdom, and he used this time. That is so awesome, for the prophecy to begin to unfold. So let me let you get your mind where my mind is at. If that happened on that Sunday, which was Palm Sunday, which we know now and it got its name from that. So when you want to know Palm Sunday, it got its name from that. But this was the beginning of the week, and in 6 days, Jesus was going to be crucified. So this is really the beginning of the prophecy and the saga unfolding about what Jesus came to do, and he's now fulfilling the will of the Father. He's fulfilling the prophecy that had been spoken of so many years ago. And God chose this time of the Passover. Now, Christians do not celebrate Passover, but people, the Jews, celebrate Passover. Because, you see, they're still waiting for the Messiah. And even though Jesus rode into Jerusalem riding on an ass that day with all power in his hand, they couldn't comprehend. And yet today they're still waiting for the Messiah. Because they don't believe that Jesus was the one. You see, at that time, Jerusalem was full for all to see the triumph arrival of a righteous king. The preparation for the entry into Jerusalem, Jesus did it secretly. You know, some of the things you have to do and need to do in your life, you got to stop telling everybody. You got to stop speaking all kind of things. Even the hurts in our lives and the fears in our lives, we don't have to keep telling a story. You know, some things we could just keep secret, and if we done said it once, twice, three, four, five, six, we don't have to keep saying it. You know, sometimes we could be stuck in our old story, and God cannot give us a new story. I'm not saying you'll forget your past, but your past is your past. And really and truly, it's just your past. You can't do anything about your past. You could just go forward in your future. And right here, we see that Jesus done this and he did it in secret. Some things it's meant to be a secret. Just like people have testimonies and they tell them over and over and over again, you told us, we got it. And then you tell your testimony. You know, when God gives you a testimony, it is not for every person in every situation. Just like God is a God of wisdom, he have an appointed time and appointed place. You could tell your testimony every day, and it will have no profit. But when God connects you with someone that needs just your testimony to make a difference in their life, he'll let you know. Because, you know, that's your testimony. That's your story. And, yes, it should be shared, but let the Holy Ghost lead you. The two disciples only received their instruction at the appointed time. And that's what God does with us sometimes. We got to know everything. We got to know everything before we do it. You know, sometimes, look at the scripture. The two disciples only received their instructions at the appointed time. God may not tell you something a year in advance. It may not even tell you 3 days in advance. And you remember, our time is not God's time. Here we see when God gives you an assignment, like he sent them two disciples. And look at here, they say two disciples in the scriptures. The names is not even mentioned. Because you see, it wasn't about the two disciples that was going to fetch the donkey. It was about the one that was going to ride on the donkey. And their names is not mentioned. You see, Jesus had probably already prearranged the agreement with the owner. When he went to get the donkey, Jesus told him, if someone asks you why, tell him the master have a need of it, and they would send it. They also knew the prophecy. I'm talking about the innkeepers. They knew the prophecy, and they was more than willing to participate in the fulfillment. You see, in the other scriptures, we go in a 7 now. They say, and they brought the ass and the coat and put their clothes on him. They set him thereon, talking about Jesus. And a great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches for trees and strawed them in a way. And the multitude that went before and they that followed cried, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that come in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved. And then they said, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth, of Galilee. You see, here we see the people giving praise to God. They shouted Hosanna, which means save now. They called him the Son of David because they knew the Messiah would come from the lineage of King David. And they were acknowledging his lordship. They was giving him honor. But you know, some people will puff you all the way up just to take you down. They will praise you today, and they will unpraise you tomorrow. Because if they did it to Jesus Christ, you know what they'll do to you. Remember, this was the Sunday before the crucifixion. And on this day, these people is crying, Hosanna. They are crying, blessed he that come in the name of the Lord. They called him the Son of David. This 6 days before the crucifixion. You see, this seemed, you know, it really seemed like everyone was happy. But I want to let you know, everybody that smiles with you, that give you nice words, you know, they're not always with you. You have to ask God to give you the gift to discern the spirit. Because you could be led somewhere and get there and don't really realize how you got there and really don't even want to be there. You got to watch that. You have to ask God to help you to see who's coming into you, to see who's patting you on the back and why. You see, they were saying all of that to Jesus, but let me show you this. The religious leaders was intimidated by the reception he had received. Was that a little bit of jealousy? How many people you think are jealous about you, and you may not even feel like you have anything for nobody to be jealous about? But they was intimidated because he was getting too many accolades. And you see, they felt it was all about them. They were the ones. And you're going to come across people like that. And I want to let you know this. Everybody will not like you. I don't care what who you are. I don't care what you have. I don't care what you have to give. And I don't care what you have given. Understand that and move on. Everybody ain't going to like you because you feel that you are lovable and you do everything right. The religious leaders, they was intimidated. The reception was too much. He was receiving too much accolades. You see, and that was the religious leader, but guess what? The people who was howling, Hosanna, Son of David, blessed is the man, they wanted Jesus to be their king. They wanted him to be their political leader. They wanted him to come because they had saw the things that he was doing, and they heard the way he spoke, and he spoke with power. And they figured if he would come and be their king and their political leader, that he could turn some things around, some of the misuse and abuse that was happening in their lives. So they wanted him to be their king, their earthly king. But they didn't realize that his kingdom was not of this world. You see, they did not understand the spiritual aspects of his kingdom. And really, to tell you the truth, even though the 12 disciples walked with him, slept with him, ate with him, prayed with him, taught with him, They didn't even grasp the need when he spoke to them about his suffering, his death. They couldn't understand, you know, when Jesus told them, I got to go. And they saying, why you got to go, and can we come with you? Because they fully didn't grasp and understand. So I'm not giving justification for the people, but let's look at it. The disciples who was with him, and he taught them himself, they didn't fully understand it. So the crowd that was there, and remember, there was two sets of crowd. There were people that had, there were groups of people there, two groups. The ones who were coming to the celebration of the feast of the Passover, and the ones that had experienced Jesus' many miracles. You know, right before that, Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. Some people had experienced all that, and they figured that he was the one, because they shouted it out, Son of David, Hosanna. They really wanted him to be their early king. And you see, some of the people knew him well, and others were encountering him for the first time. This was the beginning of the week. This was the beginning of the last week of Jesus' earthly life. This week in Jesus' life would be crammed with several events, and I'm sure you know most of them. As we follow him from his glorious entry into Jerusalem on that Sunday until his death on that Friday, in the days between, some of the things that Jesus did, Jesus went into high teaching because he knew he was going to leave his disciples, and he wanted to help them get to another level in maturity. So Jesus, in that week, Jesus was doing a lot of preaching. He was also doing a lot of teaching. He even took time to preside over the Passover supper. You know, he stood on trial, and he was condemned to death in that week that followed his triumph entry. But we all know that's not how the story ends. Because 3 days later, he rose again. And he rose with all power in his hand. And it was given to him by the Father. After all the praising and honor and glory and the laying down of clothes and the palms in Jesus' path, these same people who said, Hosanna, cried out, crucify him. You know, the Bible talks about the tongue a lot. They say the same tongue that give you blessing, you know, bless your name and bless you. And the same tongue that give you blessings is the same tongue that curses you. God said no man can control the tongue. And here we see, Hosanna. Blessed is the man that comes in the name of the Lord. And Hosanna, they was asking him to save us now. Save us from the oppression. Not save us for eternal life, because they just didn't get it. And they let the murderer go free. We have to remember that God had a master plan and a will for our lives before the foundation of the world. You see, by God being all-knowing, he knew every failure. He knew all the failures that mankind would fail in. And he knew he would have to save us from ourselves. You know, I said the other night, you know, and I use it like this, and this is how I really feel, and I hope you could use it, and I pray that you feel that way. When Jesus, before the foundation of the world, when God was in heaven and man had sinned and all of these things happened, God had made a master plan. And in his master plan, he had something designed for each and every one of us. I'm not going to say me, but us. And, you know, I could just imagine him saying, look at that little old Diane. You know, in, you know, 2014, da-da-da-da-da. I believe that because nothing happens unless God orchestrates or allows. And I believe it. You see, and then he sent his prophecies through his prophets. And this lesson is the beginning of the saga unfolding. And as I close tonight, understand God had a master plan before the foundation of the world. Jesus rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, which it wasn't called Palm Sunday, but Palm Sunday as we know it. Jesus rode into Jerusalem on that day, and God had already orchestrated. If you go back to the book of Genesis, if you go to Genesis 3 and 15, you will see the first prophecy made, and it was made by God himself about the coming of the Messiah. And here on this day, the triumph entry into Jerusalem was when it was all unfolding and Jesus was coming and you know, in his rightful place, and he had listened to the Father, and he was willing to do the will of the Father, and now the prophecy is being fulfilled. And this is the beginning. You see, but this is all I can say for us, and I pray that we hold on to it. Remember, before the foundation of the world, God had all of this in mind, and you was included. So as I close tonight, I'm just saying we should be grateful, obedient, thankful, trusting, resting. We don't know how to rest in what God is doing. God got this. God say, I'm in control. Start all over. We should be grateful because one of the worst sins in the world is the sin of ingratitude. Obedient because God is too good for us to disobey him. Thankful because we should, because all that God is doing. Trusting. Trusting is telling God that he knows best. Resting because God is in control and he said a battle is not ours. Learning how to give ourselves totally unto God for what he has done and is doing. He sent his son. He worked it out for our good. He gave us the scriptures that we could have a manual to live right. He gave us grace. He gave us mercy. Hallelujah. You see, we should learn to cooperate with the Holy Spirit because only then we will receive all that God has for us. God has a lot of things for a lot of people, and God has some things for every person. But because we're not cooperating with the Holy Ghost, God cannot even give us some of the things, and he can't give us some of the things he wants us to have because he's got it over here in the right, and we constantly going to the left. You see, but I can tell you this, Jesus understood the will of God, and he gave himself totally and freely unto God. Because you see, this is another scripture for you guys, John 10 and 18, and this is Jesus talking. Jesus said, no man takes it from me, but I lay it down myself. He's talking about his life. He said, I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. He said, this commandment have I received from the Father. So just as Jesus did the will of the Father, we should all learn to do the same. Because God got us covered. Way when Adam and Eve sinned, he made provisions for us to be able to receive eternal life. And yet it's 2014 and we ain't got with the program, some of us. And we get with the program sometime and then we not with the program other times. There is nothing even left for us to do here on earth but praise the Lord, be obedient. Because we done saw what the world have to offer. We know that man will let you down every time, not some, every. And I have news for you if you don't know it. The world is going to get worse before it get better. This world don't love nobody. And it's not even trying to help you. You see oppression and depression on every side. We got a governor in Louisiana, and if he could have his way, I don't know where we would be. But you see, that's why the scripture tell us over and over again, we got to be in this world, but we have to learn how to separate ourselves from this world. Because this world could consume you and take you out if you're not careful. Learn to love God. Learn to trust God. Because God say, I got you. And rest in God. And I pray that God's word don't return void. And I hope that it was something that you could use on the night. But that was so amazing to me that that's when the saga began, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem. That was the starting point for everything that God had put in place all through the Old Testament and the beginning of the New Testament to unfold with the triumph entry into Jerusalem, riding on the ass. And they say the ass and the foal, and I want you to know that it was the ass and the mother, because the ass had to be young and it couldn't have been rolled on before. So that would be, you know, a very young donkey. And God, Jesus, let me show you how good Jesus is. Jesus didn't want the little colt to be riding. And, you know, like I told you, Jerusalem was full. And that little colt could have got nervous. But see, Jesus is concerned about everything and everybody. So he said, bring the colt mama with him. Because he knew that would be soothing to the colt. Come on now. Come on. See, Jesus, God, cover all bases. Just like he was concerned about that colt, which had never been rode before. And it was young. That's how he's concerned about you and me and all of us. And that's the lesson for the night. And I do have a line that needs to be opened. So caller who is 504-621, your mic is open now. You may speak.
You. No, I'm pushing that. I did that, yes. You pushed the
504-621. Your mic is open. So maybe they pressed it by mistake. 504-621-98. Your mic is open because you had the one button press. Would you like to make any comments? I guess not at this time. So I'll close the mic. If anybody else have any comments, they would like to say anything. Could anyone call and maybe add something new to the story? Another aspect that we could take it and learn from it as well. Okay, we have a call of 504-251-39. Your mic is open. You may speak at this time.
Hello, Ms. Diane. That was a good speech. That was a nice speech. It was very, very touching.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you for the encouragement.
It was very, very nice. It was a very nice speech. And it really touched me tonight in so many ways, because as I grow in my faith with the Lord, it's things like what you said tonight that really hit home with me. And it's very inspirational, and it's a blessing to have you around to inspire me and others.
And I thank you so much for listening and taking time from your schedule, and I pray that you continue to join us. And I just want people to know that there is a prayer line. The prayer line number is 504-289-9501. On that same prayer line number, you could call me any day and ask questions. If something you don't quite get from the lesson or something you want to add to, we could call it and discuss it. You know, my favorite thing in life these days is talking about the Word of God. So you could call that number anytime and we could discuss. But I thank you again, Ms. Brittany, for your calling in, and I pray you be back Wednesday.
I'll try to.
And I have another call of 5985224. Your mic is open.
Good evening, Sister Di. I just want to thank you again for being such an inspiration to us who are listening to you on Wednesday night. Some of the things you said tonight was confirmation from my last Bible study on last night at my church, and I just, it was so enlightening. One of the things you said that I had never thought of before, and that is about giving your testimony, that your testimony isn't always to be repeated over and over again, but that the Spirit will lead you when someone needs to hear your testimony. You just said so many things. You open our ears and just enlighten us so much tonight. Just want to encourage you to keep doing God's work and keep giving us the message and keep giving us the scriptures so that we can continue to study, grow, and learn. And I do need you to repeat that prayer number again. I didn't get it.
504-289-9501.
Thank you, Sister Di.
And thank you so much. And I want you guys to know that next week's lesson, tonight we talked about Jesus entering Jerusalem. We realized tonight that that was the beginning of the unfolding of the story of Jesus' passion and his suffering. So next week, I'm going to talk about what happened between that time and the crucifixion. So we'll be... You guys could look it up and you could, you know, start studying and you could just get refreshed with it and let the Holy Ghost speak to you. But I'm going to talk about the events that happened after the triumph entry leading to his crucifixion. And then the week after that, I will talk about the crucifixion and the resurrection. And that would be the week before Easter, because it's two more weeks, because Wednesday after Easter, I will not be in town. I'm taking my grandson, the one who calls and pray sometime, on a trip on a cruise, and I won't be here. But what I may do, so don't take it all away because I'll let you know as it lead up, I probably can arrange to do it on the cruise ship. And that's what I'm going to try to figure out and do it. And then I will be able to be with you that Wednesday after Easter. But next week we're going to talk about the things that happened in the week that followed Jesus' triumph entry. And then the week after that, the crucifixion and the resurrection leading up to the week before Easter. But if anybody would like to... hear or let us teach on a specific topic, you know, you could press the one on your phone right now and we will do that topic, you know, because y'all got to remember. And I really pray that we all get on one accord and realize this is our Bible study. This is our Wednesday night, 8:30, Inspirational Wednesday Bible Study. Each and everybody is a part of this Bible study. And this is a fellowship. And I just want you to know that all of us could take all kind of parts in this because it is just our time. It's not all about me. It's about us. You know, we're the body of Christ. And we get together every Wednesday. I've been doing it for over a year, and some people has been with us every Wednesday. So it's about us. It's not about me. So if you have a topic, a subject, you need prayer, you want us to pray for someone, you know, whatever it is, we could go on a prayer together. And I pray that everybody that listen, learn to pray for Wednesday night in Bible study. Pray for one another, some of the people you have heard, you know, that came on the phone and spoke. You know, we got to learn how to start doing the things of God. That's why, you know, Christians is so weak and we compromise. And I didn't say you, I say we. And I'm talking about me as a, they compromise so much by doing, well, not so much doing, but what you don't do. You know, the scriptures ask that we become on one accord. How can we become on one accord when we always separating? Separating ourselves and separating whatever. But it's my prayer that this Wednesday night Bible study get to be where everybody understand that they have an equal part, that this is not a Diane thing. I'm just the host till someone else acts the host. And I'll even let you teach, you know, lessons. But it's our Bible study. And it's equally all of our Bible study. And I just want you guys to know that. But right now it's the 9:30 hour. I always try to finish at 9:30. And right now I'm asking for if anybody would like to pray. If you press the one button, I'll let you lead us out with prayer. If anyone would like to pray, you could press the one button. If anybody have anything else to say, you can press the one button. At this time, so we could have a benediction prayer, I'm going to say a prayer. After that, I will put on some more music. While the music playing, if anyone would like to say anything, you can press the one button, and I'll still let your mic be open if you want to have something to say. But as always, you know, God loves you and so do I. And let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, Heavenly Father, I just want to say thank you. You know, Heavenly Father, sometime I have a lesson that I'm going to say this and I'm going to say that. And, you know, the Holy Ghost come and he have his way because I have given him permission. And then when the callers call in, God, and it's something that they could use. You see, God arranged that just like he gave Zechariah that prophecy 500 years before the birth of Christ. That's how he orchestrating and allowing that for you to get the word, for the people to get the words that they need. Lord, I know it's not about me, and it's all about you. Use me, thy Lord, for your people. Heavenly Father, I pray that everyone have a blessed week. I pray that the word that went forth, dear God, won't be returned void. Lord, I pray that every need will be met. Heavenly Father, I pray that if there's any financial needs, that it'll be taken care of. Heavenly Father, I'm asking that you have be a doctor in a sick room, be a lawyer in a courtroom. Heal, dear God, anyone that's in need of it. Lord, you have bigger and better things in store for your people. But we have to learn to put ourselves in position to receive it. Lord, but I'm going to be careful to give you the glory, honor, and praise. Thank you, dear God, for letting Jesus ride in Jerusalem on that day, dear God, on a donkey. Because you see, he was offering himself up so that he could die on the cross so that we may live. Lord, and I'm grateful. Because if it had not been for Jesus on my side, I don't know where I would be. Lord, I thank you for your son, and I thank you for your spirit. I thank you for family, dear God. I just thank you, dear God. I just thank you. Lord, I want to always be thankful and show gratitude unto you for what you did. Because they say the worst sin in the world is the sin of ingratitude. Lord, and I don't never want to seem ungrateful because I appreciate it, and I thank you In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. Anybody have anything to say at this time? You can press the one button. I'm going to play some music, and I know sometime when the music come on, some of the people hang up, and I do understand. So at this time, I got a button press. Here we go, 25181. Your mic is open.
Hi, is he Diane?
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, see, Diane, I just heard you praying. Well, you know this is Troy. You know my number. I heard you praying, and I heard you pray for, like, financial blessings. So my question to you is, are we allowed to pray for financial blessings? Because that's something that I don't particularly pray for. Wait a minute. Wait a second, Alyssa. But I always thank the Lord for the blessings that he gives me on a daily basis, but I didn't know that we could just really ask for financial blessings. I mean,
yes, indeed.
What I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not like, you know, listen, the Bible said, in all things, make your request known. All. And the reason they say all, when you see the word all, that means everything. Make all of your requests known through prayer and supplication. God owns everything. Yes, you pray for your financial blessings.
Okay.
You know, and in your prayer, you can say, God,
reason,
I want to be.
I mean, my reasoning behind not praying for financial blessings is because I have always been just so blessed. I've never just been so down and out that I had to ask the Lord for, you know, money for food and stuff like that. But, you know, it comes a time, not just in my life, but in, you know, our lives as a family, that, you know, we need a financial blessing. And I just didn't know, because I am blessed. I am, and, you know, my daughter is as well. I just didn't think that it was a right thing to do because I am so blessed to ask for financial blessings. So that's why I'm asking you. When I heard you pray for it, I said, well, see, Diane, she said it, so that's why I pushed the one button. Because I didn't
know.
I didn't know. I really didn't know that we could pray. I always say, thank you, Jesus, for everything that I have, everything that you've given me on a daily basis, every second, every minute, every hour. But I never pray for a financial blessing. But, you know.
Well, let me give you an example. You have a young child, right?
Yes.
You have a young daughter, my little niece, right? She's got to grow up and she's got to go to college. That would be your desire, right? And it's going to take money, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What, you know, like if you was praying and, you know, I understand what you're saying because you want to stay humble unto the God and you don't want to seem greedy. But there's nothing wrong for asking for financial blessings. Listen at this. Your child has to go to college. Well, I know you're going to want her to go to college. Lord, please let me be financially able to send my child to college. Isn't that financial?
Yes. That's,
okay.
That's true.
Lord, you know, I would like to have, you know, a home and you know, and some people play that they get a house debt free, you know, financially. My friend, I'm going to give you an example. My girlfriend had house got destroyed in Katrina and the contractors took her money.
Mm-hmm.
And so she couldn't get a house fixed. And, you know, she's gone around to programs, but all of the programs you needed the money to buy the material, and they would supply the labor. So she, you know, started doing her prayer, and she said, God, if it's your will, now you're always asking his will, if it's your will, let me have a financial blessing where my house will be fixed and I don't have a note. And one of the programs called her up after a year and said, we finally got money from the federal government. And not only will we be able to do the labor, but we're going to be able to buy the material.
Okay.
Come on now.
Yeah, like
and
I said,
I'm just using them.
I always say thank you, but I just never pray for you know, I say thank you every day for the blessings that I, you know, accrue every day. But I never just really get down on my knees and say, you know, dear Lord, I need this, you know, like that for.
But first of all, everything you need, you're supposed to tell God. God is like this. First of all, you got to understand what prayer is. Prayer is making your petition to God. Not that he's going to do everything you're saying, but you letting him know because of your relationship what is going on with you. You say, God, you know, the people say, well, why you got to pray? Because God knows everything. Yes, he does know everything, but that's the intimacy that you have with him when you pray. Lord, you know, my daughter going to go to college, and I pray that I have enough money. That was kind of cool, huh? And God said, okay, I know where she at, you know, and you know, it's, you know. And even after you pray and you ask God everything you want to ask him, you should say, not my will, dear God, but your will. But praying is talking to God. That's conversation. And he wants to know it all. Not some areas. Nothing is too small to talk to God, and nothing is too big to talk to God. Talk to God about everything, because the more you talk to him, the stronger your relationship gets.
Okay.
And there's nothing wrong with asking for a financial blessing. Now, you know, some people could be greedy, and it could be out of the will of God. You know, I want a financial blessing to go open a strip club. Now, God don't play with strip clubs. You know what I'm saying? You know, I mean, you know, let's you know, keep it real. But no, it's nothing wrong with asking for financial blessings. And you're not asking for God to give you money because you know and you feel you're blessed. But when I say financial blessings, it may not be, you know, give me some more money. But it's things, you know, this world operate with money. So there's going to be things that could take you to where you want to go. And then you're going to need things for your daughter's life. And you know, because she's young now, and you don't know, you know, you got something maybe now, but you don't know what you have 5 years from now.
Exactly.
Sam.
Yep.
But he said, bring it all to me.
Okay.
Everything. Bring it all to me. I want to hear from you. And that's how the intimacy with your relationship with God began in prayer.
Okay. Yeah, so you'll be hearing from me in a little while. Maybe not tonight, but I'm going to call you and ask you if you can teach me how to pray, because I have a problem with that as well.
We could do a class on praying. Which you call me, and we will go over it, and we will deal with it. But after I do the two lessons that I already say we're going to talk about, the next one could be on prayer, how to pray.
Okay.
Because that's what I'm saying. If everybody call and we talk like we doing, we could know where each other are. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I could develop the lessons. Because we are a group. We Wednesday night Bible study. So it would be real good that we would talk on issues that we need to, that's concerning everybody. If I could just hear from people. Got it?
Mm-hmm.
So this is really good. But no, I think I understand, like you're saying, you don't want to be greedy. There's a difference. There is a difference. And once you learn how to pray, you got to pray within the will of God, you know, because like I say, financial blessing, you know, somebody could have just lost their job. Somebody could have, whatever. So that, you know, they'd be in a need, you know, like one lady got a $700 light bill. You know, different things. So you have to pray to God for that. God is in control of all of the money, too. So get your petition in.
Okay.
Ain't nothing wrong with it.
All right.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate you, T. Diane. On Wednesdays when I can.
Back it up, Troy, because the thing was, it was off. Go back when you say, go back a little bit.
I said, I appreciate everything that you do for us. And I said, I love you more than words could say. And I tried to really let you know that, but I'm telling you just in case you don't know, I'm telling you now. So,
Yeah. And
that's
I love all of y'all.
Can you hear me?
Everybody can hear you.
Okay.
I love you too, baby.
I wanted everybody to hear me. I did.
You wanted everybody to hear you?
Of course.
You say you, all right now. I take them words of encouragement, and I love you too, baby. And I can't wait till I get to California to see y'all faces and them new babies and all of that. But we're going to make
one
it happen.
One new baby, not no new babies. Only one.
I might be prophesying. No, I'm
not,
just joking.
Not with me. Thank you, Lord.
But this is what it's about, and yes, you can do that. But that number I gave, everybody can call it anytime. And if you ask me a question and I do not know the answer, I will tell you that I will get it for you.
Okay.
So thank you so much, Troy, and I'm looking forward to hearing from you. You can call anytime. And
okay,
thank you so much for your words of encouragement.
Love you and good night.
Good night. Is there anyone else who would like to say anything? If not, I'll put some music on. I just want to say thanks to God. And I want to, the callers will go off because some don't listen to the music. But I want to let you know that God loves you and so do I. And I pray that we grow stronger and stronger in the Word of God, that we become mature Christians. We have stopped taking the Word of God so lightly. We really do. Because the Word is your strength. The Word is your key to open your doors. The Word is the key to take the shackles off your mind. The Word is deliverance. The Word is power. The Word is love. The Word is peace. And the Word of God will give you joy. So until we meet again next week, this is Diane Adams, your Inspirational Wednesday host, and I'm loving on each and every one of you. And I'm going to put the music on, and I'll continue to play music till there's no more callers. And I just love y'all. I just love y'all so much. I just have a great big old family. Each and every one of you, I feel like you're part of my family. I just feel like my family is growing wider and bigger. And because of that, I say thank you.
Falling in love with Jesus is the best thing.
That is so good, falling in love with Jesus. And we do it through prayer. And here's another record. And if anybody that's still listening would like to talk, if you press the one button, I'll open your line.
Nobody greater than you.
has nobody greater. We have to realize that. But right now it's almost the 10 o'clock hour. I am really grateful and thankful again for everyone who has tuned in by telephone or on the Internet. If the people on the Internet would like to make comments, all you have to do is dial the number that's shown on the screen. Your call will come into the studio, and you press the one button, and that's how you get to participate. But as always, it's a pleasure and an honor to be with you guys on Wednesday night. I pray that God's word will not return void, and I look forward with expectations of meeting you here again on Wednesday night. I see that some numbers are still on the phone, still in my studio, so I want to tell Tamika, have a great night. Thank you for calling in, Troy and Monica. And I see Rianne's number is still showing up. God bless you, darling. And I thank you for coming to Monday night Bible studies and tuning in on Wednesday. And as we seek and search the Lord, what else do we have to do? And I pray, like I say, that it don't return void, and God will be with you. And this week coming up, well, you will have peace and joy and all of the things that your heart desires by the blood of Jesus, by the name of Jesus. Because there's no other name besides the name of Jesus that get all honor, glory, and praise. And I want to tell everybody good night. And God be with you until we meet again. And this is the end of the broadcast. God be with you. Good night.